I heard Rich's radio programs the second hour Wednesday, and I thought I about jumped out of my skin when you said you need to read Psalms 30. Isn't that amazing? And I thought, wow, that's cool. So, since you just said that, why don't you open in prayer for us?
Oh, precious Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. Wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. Yes. And we just want to glorify your name and praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Your word is a lamp unto our feet, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray that you just bring forth your word today, Lord.
Yes.
Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to see and hear, Lord. Bring us into further revelation and knowledge of you.
Yes, sir.
We love you and we will do more in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Well, today we're going to start Psalm 30. And from the very beginning, let me just say, you don't have to study anything in Psalm 30. You can just read it and be so comforted and be so overwhelmed by the love of God that but if you do take the time to look into it, oh my goodness. I mean, it's just beautiful. Beautiful promise of God that he is the controller, that he is in control of all things, that he, with him, light and darkness are all the same, mm-hmm. and he is bringing us into that day of light. So even before you get into the actual word of it, it says a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David, which is the temple of David. And know ye not what? We are the temple of God. So this is something that we should be singing to ourselves every day at the dedication of our temple. When we get out of bed, dedicate our temple to the service of God that day. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. So I'm just going to kind of start. I have random thoughts and things that came to me while I was looking at this. And it says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. And it's interesting that what he's saying is, Lord, I'm going to lift you up because you lifted me up. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Mm-hmm. And I was reading in somebody's commentary, he says, it kind of expounds on that. He says, I will have high and honorable conceptions of thee and give them utterance in my best music. Just going to sing all day long. Others may forget thee, O God, murmur at thee, despise thee, blaspheme thee, but I will extol thee. I will lift you up, for I have been favored above all others. I will extol thy name, thy character, thine attributes, thy mercy to me, thy great forbearance to my people, but especially I will speak well of you. I will extol thee, O Jehovah. This shall be my cheerful and constant use, for thou hast lifted me up. And the word that word that's used, I will extol thee for thou hast lifted me up. When you look into the original meaning of that word, it denotes a reciprocating motion. I will extol you because you extolled me or lifted me up. It's kind of like that's the same word where you pull a bucket out of a well. Something goes down and something comes up. That's that same word. Mm-hmm. God himself came down to lift us up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See? It's a beautiful thought. And he did lift us up, and he is the only one who can lift us up. Mm-hmm. He has lifted us up by presenting himself to die for us. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to jump in? All right, we'll go on a little bit further. Verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. That word healed me is the same word as Jehovah Rapha. It's one of the covenant names of God. It's God's covenant. When we cry unto him, he heals us. He heals us in our bodies, in our minds, in our souls, and in our spirits.
It's interesting, you know, your natural ear is going to say, oh, and he heard me. In other words, I cried out to him, and he heard me. Mm-hmm. But he didn't just hear you. He healed you.
Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. That word pit is the same pit where Joseph was thrown in by his brothers. It says you have brought my soul up from the grave. Sometimes God also puts our soul down in the grave. You know, or it seems like he takes us down, he brings us up. He does all things well. He knows exactly what we need to have him cry out so that the healing can take place. Mm-hmm. And if it means, you know, setting you aside for a season, it's all done out of love and to discipline and to bring you back to him.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have a testimony about that?
I just praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a testimony about my granddaughter called me last night here. And how God is dealing with her. And she said how she's come to the end of herself. We had prayer on the phone. She lived with me for 6 years and I had her off the Lord. She's 28 and expounded on all the things, the meetings she went to with me, coming to church with me, and how I just thank God for how he brings us to the end of ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And how he knows how to deal with us. Mm-hmm. And how it's great love, how he shows himself to us. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'd like to say something brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Praise God.
Praise God. Just looking at children and how God has put them in my life, and the great beast, and even their mother. I just thank God for. He kept telling me these are opportunities. Look at these times; they look like it's hard what you're doing, but they're opportunities. And when she shared with me about the meetings and prophecy, when Stacy was prophesied over her life. She's only about 10 years old. She didn't even want to go to, I wasn't going to go to that meeting that night. And she wanted to go back down the date to this meeting. And he walked by her, and she remembers how he said, oh, you're young, but you're not that young. And he began to prophesy. And she remembered this. She's 20, and she was only about 10. Let us thank God, because we were praying on the phone last night, thinking of these children and how God brings you to a place that he's lifting them unto himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So wonderful.
And doesn't the Bible say that we're in a day where he's going to do a quick work?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's really hard to let your children go their own way and not put your hand on them.
Yes.
But it takes a lot of discernment to know when to touch and when to hold your peace. Mm-hmm. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The message says, sing, it says, all you saints, sing your hearts out to God and thank him to his face.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then verse 5 says in the message, he gets angry once in a while, but across a lifetime there is only love. The nights of crying your eyes out give way to days of laughter. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may me endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you know, I don't know. I have a different idea of God's anger. I think God's anger is very measured and needed and just. And his anger comes at us even out of justice and mercy. Yeah, and love.
Yes.
To teach us.
I have a really good story on that scripture from about 1:5. Tom came to camp with his wife. She was not supposed to have any children at all. And finally she did have a couple children, and then they knew that God had promised them a daughter. I mean, it was clear both of them heard from the Lord at separate times, you will have a daughter. Well, after her third son, miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage, and then basically the OBGYN said, you will not have any more children. They have a girl named Joy.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. Praise God.
Anybody else have anything on that? You want to go forward a little bit more?
Yes.
And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Mm-hmm. And that word said doesn't just mean to say something. It means to boast, to act proudly, to, stick your chest out and say, I shall not be moved. I think that I shall never be moved is something that probably shouldn't ever come out of our mouths, because the Lord will show us that he's the one who shall not be moved. It says, Lord, in thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. But then thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. There's two ways to take that one about the mountain. I kind of took it that the mountain was my mountain of my possessions and my, even the Lord in his favor made that mountain to stand in front of me that I could not get past and I could not get around and to hinder me and hid thy face, and I was troubled. But in the commentaries it says, even though my mountain, which is in you, you gave me the mountain of your eternal knowledge, sometimes even in that you hid your face from me and I was troubled. I think that's a very healthy thing. If God hides his face from you and you are troubled, that, I think, is the sign of a godly man. Because evil men love the darkness and hate the light. If God hides his face from us, we notice it immediately. And it troubles us. It makes us go to prayer and go to him and find out what's going on, because we miss that. We miss the face of God in our lives.
That sixth verse, Kathy, where it says, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. That word for prosperity there is a word that has the meaning of security. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, as you were talking about that before, I was thinking that reminds me of Psalm number one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, shouldn't see the scornful, you know, but his delights in the Lord and his law is to meditate day and night, so he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And you know, that's the only security that we have, is when we realize that we're the trees of the Lord, and I think we talked about that a little bit last week in Sunday school. But when we realize we're the trees of the Lord, and when we desire to be planted by the rivers of living water, that will bring forth our fruit in our season, you know. And, that's the only place that we can't be moved from. You know, you take a tree and you plant it out there in the field out there away from the water, and it doesn't rain for a while, and it's going to die. It'll dry up and blow away. But you plant it over next, pretty close to the lake, real close to the lake, and it'll draw water from the lake, even though it's not in the lake. It'll draw water from the lake. And, you know, we got to realize that we're planted in Him, and as long as we're planted in Him, we cannot be moved. The only time we can be moved is when we get out of Him. Mm-hmm. That's when we get moved, and we get moved in a way that's not a good way a lot of times.
Yes.
I
love that song, Thank God I'm a Tree.
Yeah.
In water. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep.
Yes.
And all that I do, God said I would prosper.
Yes, I'm a tree of the Lord, and I'm planted by Him.
Do you remember the old gospel song, We shall not be moved like a tree planted.
Yes.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
That same line there. You know, but that's how you don't get moved when you're planted. And a lot of times we have to get determined in our heart and in our mind that we're not going to be moved.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah.
We have to make up our mind, so to speak, that God, I'm not going to be moved away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, situations and circumstances are going to try to move us away, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize that we have to even proclaim with our mouth and confess with our mouth what God says and not what our situation is.
That's right.
Praise God. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes.
That 6 and 7 in the message, it says, when things were going great, I crowed, I've got it made, I'm God's favorite. He made me king of the mountain. Then you looked the other way and I fell to pieces.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Well, we have to realize this Psalm 30, it's verse 6 and 7. We have to realize that there's only one king of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if we're kings, we're little kings under the big king.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. A great big king. A beautiful one.
I was thinking about when God turns his face away, then we're in the darkness. And Isaiah 42 says, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make the darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them and not forsake them.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. And Psalm 139 is a fantastic verse on that.
Yes.
When you're in that place where God has backed off and kind of let you stew in your own juices for a while. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. For darkness and light are both alike to thee. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful verse of scripture. Mm-hmm. no matter where you are or wherever you perceive yourself to be. Darkness and the light are all the same to him. That reminds me of a little email thing, one of those little stories that I sent to Margaret and a couple of you guys last week, where it says this Indian tribe had this passage to manhood, and in order for a young man, a young boy, to attain manhood, he was taken out into the thick of the forest. He was sat down on a rock, and he was blindfolded. And he was to stay there, not cry out, not move, not, you know, cry, not anything, all night long. And he was, you know, and that would be where he could prove that he was a man. So they took the young man out, and they put him on the rock, and he sat there all night long, and he did not move, and he did not cry out. And in the morning, when the sun, when he felt the sun, he took off his blindfold, and there was his father sitting right there on the stump with him, protecting him from the... And that's the way we have to know that even in the darkness, when we're blindfolded and we're going through a dark time, our Father is right there with us. There was also this. When things are well with us, we are very apt to think that they will always be so. Unfortunately, when things aren't so well with us, sometimes we are apt to believe that will always be so. And in time and in this realm of earth, nothing is like that. Things change. I mean, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, it'll change. If God hides his face, a good man is troubled, though no other calamity befall him. But if God in wisdom and justice turns from us, see, if he turns from us, he has a reason to do it. And it's all based on wisdom and judgment and justice and love. It will be a great, be the greatest folly if we turn from him. No, let us learn to pray in the dark. I thought that was a cool thing. Let's learn to pray in the dark.
Yes.
And that kind of reminded me of a friend of mine plays in a bluegrass band, and they had a new record album out, and I listened to it the other day, and there was this little, I don't think it was even, it is kind of a gospel song, but one of the lines in it is, "Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. So hold on a little longer, help is on the way." Yeah. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Okay, anybody else got anything to say on what we've got so far? Let's go on a little further. Verse 8, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And I think that's a little easier to understand for me in the message. I called out to you, God. I laid my case before you. Can you sell me for a profit when I'm dead? Auction me off at the cemetery yard sale? When I'm dust to dust, my songs and stories won't sell. So listen and be kind. Help me out of this. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And you know he is our helper. Mm-hmm. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is our helper. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? That pit is the same as the grave that was up in, the same word as the grave in verse 3. Thou hast brought my soul up from the grave. And then sometimes, what profit is there in my blood when and if I go down to the pit? Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be... Oh, I said that one already, didn't I? Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now we're getting to the good part. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. I knew there was something about trees and gates that I was going to read today. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's why, so that he might be glorified. That's the basis of everything that God does, is to bring glory.
Yeah,
sure.
One time the Lord dealt with me about that scripture real strong years ago. And when he did, when he had me speak on it, when he said, you know, that he was, you know, when you drop down to about verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. At that point right there, that's what Jesus read. He read Psalm 61 when he stood up and started into his ministry.
Yes.
And he closed the book at that point. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Mm. He didn't finish the rest of it. And when he and it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, when we think of vengeance, we think of something terrible. You know, because man's vengeance is always, let me get even somehow. You know, let me get you back because you got me. And you know, I felt like when the Lord was dealing with me about this, he said, ask me how I'm going to get vengeance. And I said, okay, Lord, how are you going to get vengeance? He said, read the next verse. By comforting all that mourn. Mm-hmm. My ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As yes. far above the heavens, that's how far my ways are above your ways.
Yes, Lord.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give on them beauty for ashes, the joy of oil for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yes.
That they may be called trees of righteousness. That he might be glorified.
Yes.
Not that you might be glorified,
but he.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be glorified mm-hmm. in you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and then they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the former desolations. You know, God's calling the people to come up into a place of raising up former desolations of people's lives and building the old waste places into new places, places of his habitation. And when we come to realize that it's not about God being a vengeful, mean, horrible God that's just waiting to get you and waiting to, but actually he's going to do things in such a way, if we really understand what his word says, it's so beyond our natural thinking. I mean, who would think of getting vengeance by comforting all that mourn? You know, and you know, I mean, that's just not, that's not a natural thing.
I was going to say, certainly not Adam.
No, it's not Adam. But God's ways are so far above our ways, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we come to realize that he's going to do a beautiful thing instead of a... I love the definitions you gave last week, Rich. Those were great, mm-hmm. you know, in your sermon. You know, because reading them on the surface, they all sounded very negative.
Yes.
But they really weren't when you got the true interpretation of what was being said there. And when we come to a place where God really begins to open up our understanding, we're going to realize that he wants to set creation free.
Yes.
He is not going to condemn creation.
Yes.
He's going to set it free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
I
want to
go since he has turned from being my morning and my dancing. Well, in order to have something turned, we had to be in a non-dancing place.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. The word turned means, like I said last week, repair. You have to get repaired first.
We say, what profit is there in my blood? I remember when the first time I read that, I thought, there's no profit in my blood, only the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We go right back to the very top where he pulls us up by bringing himself down. He did it. He did it. He's the only one who can do it. He's the only one in whom we have to have trust and faith and love. Shall the dust praise ye? Shall it declare the truth? The truth is a person. I mean, this all, it's even in here you can see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. God came down, he rescued us. We're talking about when we become that kind of a person who can bring the kingdom of God around. I think we can only do it by praising him.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes.
I mean, we can't act our way into it. We can't. We can only submit and obey and do what he says to do. Mm-hmm. But we can't earn anything. We have to see that he's done it all, and we cannot earn anything on our own. It's always, always has been, always will be about God's great love for us and Jesus' sacrifice giving. The sacrifice of his life. He is the truth. He is all truth.
Yes.
And, you know, in him we have life.
Yes.
Yes. And praising him for that. Well, I'll tell you, last couple of days, because I threw my back out, and I would wake up in the morning, I would, oh, that's hurt. That hurt. And I just laid there and I would think, God, thank you for waking me up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this day that you're giving us. If we just start off acknowledging God in all our ways, you're going to find yourself dwelling in the light and not dwelling in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you'll be looking for things. You'll be looking for different things in your life than you were looking for before. As a signpost to where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be looking for things that used to be important will no longer be important, and things that weren't important before, small, beautiful things, a time with the Lord, and that sweet communion with him will become so much more important. And you'll just find yourself digging deeper. Your roots will be going down deeper, and when adversity comes, you will not be moved. When you can sing, I shall not be moved, you're either going to fall if you're thinking about you shall not be moved in your own boasting of your own things, or you shall not be moved because you are down deep in the Lord. Okay, well, somebody else had better talk because I'm at the end.
Do you remember that song we used to sing, Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing?
Yes.
You remember the words to that?
Mm-hmm. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and turned me with gladness. Yes.
I will not keep silent.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key
yes.
right there, what
yes.
you were just saying about
yeah.
praising God.
Yes. You will be girded with gladness.
Yeah. And as we begin to give thanks unto the Lord, then he begins to give us the oil of joy. For heaviness, and he begins to take the sackcloth off. You know, sackcloth is something that you did for mourning, and that's that old story about David. You know, when he had committed adultery, and the Lord had sent the prophet to tell him that the baby was going to be taken, and the baby got sick and everything, and basically David put on sackcloth and ashes, and was a basically what he said. You know, and he got up and began to just rejoice in God because, you know, things that are out of our control a lot of times, we spend so much time whining about and moaning and moping around and stuff. And they're out of our control. And if we just acknowledge God and move on into these things and let him be God.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. I mean, what a difference that makes. And he can replace that old sackcloth and that old mourning attitude and begin to pour the joy of the Lord.
In everyday life, I don't think that there's anything that grabs people's attention as a joyful Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're at work and everybody else is grumbling and rumbling and you're humming and singing, you know, it catches their attention.
It sure does.
And they're going, is she nuts? Or, you know, what's up with that, you know? And that's what is going to draw the nations to Christ. Truthfully, in Isaiah chapter 60, it says, arise, shine, for thy light has come. You know, and when you have the light, it's hard to hide the light. You know, you don't have a light and put it under a bushel. You let it shine, you know?
Yes.
And when you have that light, it's hard for people not to notice it.
Yes.
Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon ye. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I think that's a pretty wonderful promise.
A few weeks ago when Rich preached and he had us stand up in front, and you were evil. And he had, you know, me standing with the Lord in my face.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that knows the beginning from the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if we focus on that horror that's coming, we're going to mourn. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, that's when we can have joy because we know that he loves everybody. And that in the end, that love will be manifest to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Saved you, when he saves to the uttermost.
Yes.
And the gates of praise, you have to lift up your head, you gates, lift up your head, the everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle, you know, and undefeatable, you know. And I don't care what situations or what mourning or what things we're going through, is when we realize that the salvation of God is impenetrable, and his gates are those gates of praise, and we begin to praise him in all situations and all circumstances. It invites him into that situation.
Yes.
And you know, I will say this, even with what Debbie was saying, I will say this, you know, that was why years ago a lot of those Merlin Carruthers books about power of praise and prison to praise and all those were tremendous books, because even in situations where things were totally out of control, he taught people to praise God for that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the person stands, but just begin to praise God. And a lot of times when you begin to praise God, what you do is you release the power of God because he inhabits the praises of his saints. Yes. You release the power of God in that situation. You mean if I've got a child that's out there on drugs and they're messing up and they look like they're totally ruining their lives or whatever, I should praise God? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because if you do the other, what you're doing is add negativity to that situation.
Yes, Lord.
And if you begin to acknowledge God and to praise Him and to magnify and lift Him, then what happens? He can come in like a flood. And He can turn a situation around. He told a story one time about these people coming and saying that their daughter had gotten off into, she was being a stripper in one of these clubs and whatever, you know, and gotten in, I guess, into prostitution or whatever it was, and different things. And after they had heard him speak one time, they started beginning to praise God that their daughter was where she was and that everything was going on with their daughter like it was. And boy, that's a hard thing, you know, because, I mean, you don't want to see your daughters in some kind of situation like that. And they gave the testimony later on that when they began to praise God, we've all heard of that old guy that was called the chaplain of Murder Street. That you know, I can't remember his name. Anybody remember his name?
He had a big red Bible and always wore a red tie.
This guy went down on Murder Street, preached to everybody. They said he was walking by that bar, and he felt like Harrington or something. And he said he felt like he was supposed to go in that bar. And he went in that bar and he sat down. And guess who come over and sat down next to him? Was trying to talk
him
to the lap dance or something, probably, but he ended up leading her to the Lord. You know. But a lot of times, folks, we go the wrong way. We start getting in the mully grubs and moaning and groaning rather than praising God and magnifying Him and telling Him, Lord, you're in control in this situation.
Yes.
Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that person is right where they need to be right now to have to come to a place of coming to know you. Because I'm telling you what, I know how the Lord did with me. I had to go way, way down before I came up.
Amen.
And I tell you, once you go way, way down, you don't like way, way down. You know, you don't like it when you realize that you're out of control and that your life is falling apart around you. You know, and that's the way I had to feel before I made it, even though I had experiences with the Lord. And a lot of times, if we'll just take our loved ones or whatever in situations and circumstances and just put them before the Lord and just begin to praise God at the right where they're at. And boy, that's a hard thing. If they're in another place, they seem to be in a bad place. But if we'll do that, we can watch Him do something miraculous. You know, praise God.
For all of creation, every single one individual person, you know, that's out there doing the wrong thing, has someone who's, in mourning about it. On down a little further in Isaiah 60, it says, "Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." When God says it's ended, it's ended.
And that line of the next verse, too, "Thy people also shall all be righteous."
you just can't stop, can you? Once you start reading?
That's great.
That
old chapter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chapter.
Yeah. All will be righteous. Well, that's about all that I have prepared for today. Thank you for all of your input. Deborah Ann, I'm not looking. Will you close us in prayer? Whichever. Fight amongst yourselves over there.
Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and to hear the truth that came forth. And we ask, as we leave, that we be a blessing to those around us and that the word that is given forth this morning, Lord, take root in our hearts. Thank you so much.